To see everyone tonight, and I hope you've had a good day and had a good week. I've been really looking forward to getting back and getting back into our study here in 1 John. I thank the Lord for the lesson last week and just talking about God's love, and God is love, and absolutely the definition of love last week, and we're still continuing on that topic this evening. Tonight, I just want to teach for a few minutes, preach for a few minutes on the topic of the love of God. I was thinking about that song as we sang it on Sunday and just had it on my heart all day as we've been studying and looking through this. And that's a very, very deep topic when you're talking about the love of God. It's different than any other type of love. Until you experience it, you don't know what it's like. It's not something that's fabricated. It's not something that can be manufactured from the world, from other people. You know, people can have a good sentiment towards you. People can love you, and you can feel that love from them, but there's just something different about God's love. It's so much deeper. You know, you and I, we can try to sympathize and empathize with people through things that they're going through, hardships and things that we haven't experienced. But you know, God, He knows how you feel. He knows every single one of us how we feel. We can love one another on the surface, but what God is talking about here in these verses is loving each other on a deeper level. And I don't know, it's interesting sometimes how the Lord gives you things. And, you know, my wife, you talk about being married, and I was thinking about this was some years ago. And I thank the Lord for giving that view. As you get older maybe and have kids, you start seeing things in different lights maybe, and deeper things or what have you. I know the love that I have for my wife. I know the love that I have for my son, the love that I have for my parents. And after having a son, I feel better in tune with what love my parents have for me. You kind of see the different personalities of love. And even though those personalities are very deep, it still doesn't match up to the love of God. It's easy for us to love one another if we're happy with one another or in tune with one another. But when you think about God loving us when we were not lovable, that's on a whole different plane. You can say, well, preacher, I wasn't that bad. Well, we were enmity with God. Mankind, human nature, is at enmity with God. If you see that go on untaken care of, you'll see how far it can go. And it grows from little, and it grows and grows. But I was thinking this also some years ago. I was thinking about Brandy. It's the Lord allowed me just to, in seeing Josh, I was thinking about Josh as my son. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, Brandy was somebody's baby at one point in time. She was somebody's little baby. And to see my wife that way, she was my wife, my girlfriend. You know, I love her the way I love her. But, you know, I was like, you know, she was a baby at one time. And it made me think about, I need to take care of her like her parents would take care of her. It's a different type of love. It's something to really just consider. And I think you'll see some things in this tonight. And I think it'll be a little bit different because as I studied, I went through the verses. But even also with that, it made me think about the cycle of life, of how our life is. You know, Jesus, let's stop and think about this. God is a spirit. We can't see into the spiritual world. We don't know what that looks like. But for God to relate to us, He had to come in the form of man. Jesus Christ. He had to come in that form so we could see and we could better relate. Without that, no man has seen God at any time. We'll talk about that too, but we had to be able to see it. So Jesus had a cycle of life. He had a lifespan. He had a time of life. And as I was looking at that and trying to put it into natural terms, we all have a lifespan. And all of our lives are different. I was asked Brandy a question before we came today, and I'll ask you because it hinges. The lesson hinges on this tonight. When did you first know the love of God? Think about that. When did you first know? When did you first come to know the love of God? Because that is different for so many people. As I thought about that question, studying through this, and I was thinking about my life at birth. We all have a birth. We'd agree with that. We all are born. We all are growing. We're learning basic things in life, learning how to read, learning how to talk, learning how to do those things, just the basics as you grow up, unless there's something hindering. I know there's different circumstances, but just in general, that's kind of how human life is. Then you have more of an understanding. And as you start to understand more, Brother Norman, I think you start searching more. What more else is out there? As more is exposed to you, you start looking for more. And there's so many different kind of backgrounds. So many different kind of backgrounds. I was thinking about my life and thinking about this here, again, coming to the age of accountability, but then exposure, what we are exposed to. Things that as young kids are exposed to things in school most often. Most are probably in school and maybe not homeschooled, but in school. So they're starting to see things maybe at a very young age. So they're trying to put a lot of things together. I remember when I was younger, and again, I'm not throwing off on the school system. I'm not doing anything like that. I'm just giving you an account of my life. I remember growing up, I would hear things in school, Brother Bill, that I had a question about. Because it didn't just quite line up with what I learned in church sometimes. And so I would have a question about that, but there was a certain level of discernment that even at a young age, I started learning there is a difference. So just everything in the world doesn't line up with everything in the Bible. As a young child, you know, you're innocent for the most part, and you're trying to learn, you're thinking about things and putting things together. But when you get exposed to these things, maybe what I would call bad things or different things than what you're exposed to in church, then there's a question. Well, which one is true? If there's an opposition, if there is this, the Bible is saying this, and I'm being taught this in church and school maybe, or something is being said this way, then what's right? You know, young kids have to make that decision very early. And if you think back, a lot of young kids at that time possibly haven't accepted the Lord. They've not come to know that love just yet. If they've not accepted Him, you're talking about a secular mind or a human mind trying to discern things. And then when you hear spiritual things before accepting the Lord, that's hard to do. How do you discern those things? How do you learn from those things? But I asked Brandy that question. We were just talking, and you know, I thought it was very interesting what she said. And I said, Brandy, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, different people would say maybe when I was saved, and I would absolutely agree with that. I would understand that because that's when a person becomes to the saving knowledge of God and they understand salvation and that need, that age of accountability. When God convicts the heart and exposes that, I can see that. But her answer was really a true blessing to me. And I hope you don't mind me sharing it because it really does go with the message tonight. And I asked her, I said, well, when did you first know? And it didn't take her long. She thought for just a second. And she said, Jason, when we went through the job loss and all those things, she said, when I saw how our church responded to us, that's when I first feel that I saw the love of God in action. And I thought, that is very unique. Because I would have thought in my mind, I might have said something at a younger age. But that's exactly the point that I want to get at. She saw the love of God in church. And the response of God's people to people that were in need at the time. That was what she saw. And that is the perfect example. That is actually the exact example that God has given to us here in these, John, but the Lord has given to us here in these verses. Being able to see the love of God. When you go back and you think about Jesus' life, when He walked on this earth, the miracles He done, the way people felt when they were with Him, truly this is the Son of God. That's what these verses are also proclaiming. Number one, it's proclaiming His love, God's love toward us, but also that Jesus is the Son of God, which is right in there with the gospel, and it's so tightly interwoven. But you go back and you see His life and all the things that He did. People were here on this earth with Him, and they got to see firsthand the love of God manifest in the flesh. Without that, without Jesus, we still would be searching for the love of God. Actually, man don't search Him. He enlightened Himself to us. But through Jesus, we were able to see His love. So when you look at it like that and you see the life here, well, what do we do now? How do we see the love of God now? If that is in the past, if that's something that took place, it's accounted for, and it's absolutely documented in God's Word, and it's here, then how do we get that to a lost world? How does the non-believer who does not attend church see the love of God? How would they ever know about it? My life, I grew up in church. Thank the Lord, I was exposed to it. I told Brandy, I said, church life is the only thing I ever knew. Wasn't there every single Sunday, but most often. I mean, that's how it was. So that's my testimony. But what about the person that didn't grow up in church? What about them? How do they see the love of God? You know, you think about the crucifixion. You think about talking about God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We've talked about that. To some people, that is so foreign. How in the world could you believe something like that? Or how is that seemingly so trustworthy? How can you trust that? How can you have people ask questions like that? Well, how do you know? How do you know? Well, I revert back to what I feel in my heart, the Holy Spirit. But to the non-believer, how do they see that? It has to be displayed somehow. It has to be given somewhere. And I was looking at this here. How do we learn about the love of God? I learned about it in church. Randy's testimony, she learned about it in church. How does the non-believer learn about it who's not in church? About the saving grace of God. How can they have that? I see this here. Believers, we see the love of God after you study. If you accept the Lord, you go to church, you study, you have studies like this, and you're talking directly about the love of God. Believers see the Word. Believers see the love of God in His Word. Non-believers or the world, they see the love of God in His believers. I've heard this said, you know, we believers, a great deal of the time, are probably the only Bible that a lot of people will ever read. That's a sobering thought. I've looked at it and thought about how sometimes, you know, it's easy to know how you feel in your heart, but maybe display other things with your mouth or your thoughts. And see, if that's what the world hears, then that's where they're trying to figure this out. They're trying to say, well, which one is it? Is it this way or is it this way? If this is so important, should we not have this consistent love all the time? Christian love should be pure and easy to discern. It should be something different that people see. And you and I, every single day, that there's something different about this person. And I have to have that. You look at other people's situations. How hard is it for some people to accept the love of God? Because look at their situations. I think about broken homes. I think about children, young children, who are facing things way harder than I've even faced as an adult. And they're trying to figure those things out. And many of them, again, although maybe at the age of accountability, haven't accepted Christ yet, in their mind, look how hard their life has been. And you're telling me there's a God that loves me, but yet my mom and dad's not together, or this is going on, and all this, maybe both parents are out of the picture. It's hard for some people to believe that, where maybe with other people it's easier. We just kind of accept it if that's how you grew up. You think about people who grow up in different ways, or maybe get to the point of being 18, 19, 20 years old, and you approach them and you try to tell them this, and they've never heard anything like that. And maybe they're on this side of the fence and that side of the fence, and love to them is distorted. I mean, they don't even know what it means. They just have an idea of what secular love is, not what godly love is. I mean, it humbles me. This morning I was walking my buildings and I was listening and to some commentary, but just listening and thinking about this, how humbling it is just to know who the Lord is, to know who Jesus Christ is, to be able to proclaim it without hesitation, but to know it and know it in my heart. See, some people don't have that peace. A lot of people don't have that peace. The love of God is better displayed than just said. We can say things a lot. I've said this last week, and again, it's very closely related to this. I hope to go through these last 11, 12 verses here, verse 11 through 21. Got to get these on. Brother Terry was a lifesaver last week, by the way. I put these on. I've been wearing them all week, and I told Brandy, I was like, wow, this is handy. I like this. You know, and I was like, we've got a dog, you know. I was like, how cool is that? It was great. It was a great help, and I appreciate that. So I had to bring that to mention here. But we'll start with verse number 11. Again, this is talking about the glories of love. What the love of God actually displays. When Jesus was here, He walked on this earth, He displayed it Himself. You and I, as believers today, that is our responsibility, to to our brothers and sisters and to this world also. It's easy to love the lovable, but sometimes it's hard to love the unlovable, but God did it, and he's asking us to love people that very same way. Verse number 11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." God found it in his heart to love us when we were unlovable, but you and I are supposed to do the very same thing. You know, I told Brandy this, and of course, you don't name names and nothing like that, but I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I think we need that. There's times I've gone to church and seen folks, and you don't judge folks, and I'm not saying that, but sometimes people were so grumpy. It's like, why is that person so mad? And, you know, and it's not just that one Sunday. It's the next Sunday. It's the next Sunday. And it's almost like, well, I'm afraid to approach that person. I mean, they're in church. Thank the Lord for that. And I would think maybe they're a believer, but why are they so mad? Why are they so unapproachable? You know, and as you think about it, and Brady and I are talked about it, and she's like, yeah, you know, I see that. Well, why? Where is the absence of love there? Why? I don't necessarily have the direct answer for that, but you see that, and you see that unapproachable person. Well, if that person is unapproachable in church, are they probably unapproachable in public? Would somebody in public associate them with the love of God? Would somebody associate you with the love of God? The Bible's saying that we are supposed to. I don't believe anybody would out and out say, I don't love this brother, I don't love this sister. But I think sometimes our action shows things that maybe we don't even understand. I've seen it in different places. I'm not even necessarily even talking about here. I'm just talking about in general. It's like, why is that person so upset? If we have the love of God in each other, if we are true believers, just as John is saying here, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another, then that should show. It should absolutely show, and it shouldn't be something that is hard to show to one another. If we as believers can't show each other that we love each other and the world see that, then how are they going to believe that we love them? Very, very simple. How are they going to believe that we love them and that we care enough about them to tell them the truth, and that they see that from our heart? They're not seeing that just from our mouth. They see that we believe that. It says, no man hath seen God at any time. Making reference here, you go back and no man has seen God in his full glory. Moses couldn't see him. You think about how things were set up in the Old Testament. He got to see his hinder parts, and his face was glowing. You see, we can't see into the spiritual world. God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We can't see into that. All we can see is Jesus. That's what God gave to us. But if we can't see him, what he's saying here, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. It's made perfect in us. It's made full in us. It's saying here, John is saying, if the love of God is in you, if you are a believer, then it should absolutely show. People should see that. People should feel that when you're with them. Easy times, hard times, people should feel that. Had something very special happen at work this week. Made me think about this as I was studying. Just having a normal talk with a co-worker. And he kept talking, Christian brother. And he went in without hesitation. It was just so plain and so, this is what I do. He started giving me his testimony. Told me about how he got saved, how he accepted the Lord. And it was just as plain as just saying who won the ball game on Saturday. It was just that sweet. But you know, my heart on the inside, something started beating. And I was like, how precious is this that he feels brave enough to do that? Courageous enough to do that at work. You know, in life a lot of times now it's getting harder and harder. People feel less and less maybe able to do that, but he did. And we went from talking, and I had a good appreciation of him just on face value of how he's conducted himself. But by the time we went through this, I had a deeper relationship or deeper feeling in my heart for him. A brotherly love. Miss Janet, it was different. It was deeper. And it was just as natural. We stood up. It was during lunch break. It was time to go back to work. We stood up and we walked straight to each other, shook each other's hand, hugged each other's neck. I love you, brother. Just like we've known each other for years, and I've only known him for a couple of weeks. But that's what the love of God does. It's an inner dwelling. It's not on the surface. If you really get around God's people, we should feel that. You should know that. It's a very real and a very precious thing that we have. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You feel that Spirit on the inside. You don't feel that with everybody. I've had deep appreciations for people because they're kind or nice. Try to talk to them maybe about the Lord and they'll shut you off. So you know it's not a spiritual love. It's not that deep, but it's just an appreciation. But when you look at your brothers and sisters, or you have that with a new brother and sister that you just meet, that's a very precious thing. Only the Holy Spirit can give that discernment. And talking about this as well, even when we study, when we're trying to learn things and grow from things, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that discernment as we're studying His Word. Verse 13, it says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world." Again, what we were talking about last week, the love of God. How could God show us how deeply He loved us? He said, "I'm going to give you the very best that I have, my only begotten Son." And that's what the Lord, that's what God asks of us, that we believe in that. That's what He's asking us to. You know, it's a very simple thing. I've also talked to people who believe that you have to, once you're saved, you have to keep your salvation. And you have to be as perfect as you can. That's the words that I've heard. That you have to be as perfect as you can. I know that I cannot keep myself. I know it's not a weight system. It's not a balanced system. It's not like that. God knows that we could not keep ourselves. All the Lord is asking us to do, God is asking us to do, is to believe in His only begotten Son and His perfectness. His perfectness. That's what He's asking. That's what He wants. We don't need to make things complicated or make it something that it's not. He's just asking us to believe in His only begotten Son. That's what He's asking us here. That's what He's saying. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's kind of like Romans 10:13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's very simple. It's very straightforward. He's not asking us to do something that we can't, but just believe in Him. Just believe in what He says. Believe in who He is and what He says. In verse 16 it says, "We have known and believed the love of God, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." It's not in and out, but it's in. Staying in there. You know, you read verses like that, and you could be judgmental and say, "Well, this person seems kind of in and out." Well, I do wonder about that. Have you ever seen somebody on fire for the Lord? I mean, just absolutely on fire for the Lord. Is that not a joy to see? But you know, if time goes on and they kind of fall in and out, it just kind of makes you wonder, what happened? What happened? What happened? Why are they not on fire like they used to be? What happened to that spark? But you know, it's also a joy when you see somebody get in, they're faithful, and they're on fire, and they stay that way. What a testimony that is. And the Lord allows that to be that way. It's not in and out, but it's all in, and it's staying there. It's being committed. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us," or to us. "God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Verse 17, it says, "Herein is love, our love, made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world." Now that's a big statement there. Having boldness in judgment. I couldn't imagine facing the Lord in judgment and being bold. But this is saying here that our love is perfected that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. When we're facing the Lord, if there is nothing between us, if you're with the Lord, you're focusing on the Lord, you can come with boldness, a clean heart. If you have something in your heart that you know shouldn't be there and you try to pray, do you go boldly to the throne of grace? Or don't you feel like there's something kind of blocking there? I have. I've been there. I've Brother Raymond, I've prayed and bing, Yep, that one didn't go through. There's something wrong with on this end. His line's open. My line was closed. And I knew why. You would know why. Very seldom, I think, if you're trying to pray and you're not getting through, maybe that you probably know kind of what the hindrance is, kind of what's holding back. But love is made perfectness, and we have boldness. Again, herein is our love made perfect, that we have that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, that we can approach Him with when nothing is hindering us and nothing is in the way. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Now look at verse number 18. How many of you have fear? If you look up the word fear, you say fear. Well, I'm not really afraid of things, maybe. And some people say, I'm afraid of everything. They'll just be honest with you. But if you look up the word fear in the dictionary, do you know what fear is? This is the word that you should know. This is the word that you'd probably know. Anxiety. That's the top. That's a big thing in this day and time. Anxiety is a very weird thing. You know, your mind can tell you everything's okay. Your heart can tell you everything's okay. But your body sometimes will say everything is not okay. It'll affect you in ways that you would not understand. You know, you get a headache or you get stressed. I get a knot in my left shoulder. That's a telltale sign for me. I know when things are going on and that knot starts popping out right there. Brandy, she's got a knot. My mind is saying, knot, it's okay, let go. And he's saying, mm-mm, I'm going to hold on to this. That's the way the flesh is. The flesh is weak. That's exactly the way the flesh is. And it says again, there is no fear in love. And I asked myself this question when I was studying this. Have I gotten to that level of love yet? When I was younger, again, we talked about and preached, taught on jealousy. When I was younger, remember what jealousy feels like? Jealousy comes when you don't trust. I don't think I can trust this. I'm invested. And I don't know if I can fully trust this person, and I'm afraid this person is going to hurt me. I want them to like me like I like them, but maybe they don't. And then you hurt. But you see here, there is no fear in love. That's a big thing. I've thought about that a lot today because you could keep going on and on and on and on with that. There's no fear in love, and I count that to trust also. But if you fully love the Lord, if your heart is fully in tune with the Lord, you're saying, Lord, I trust you no matter what's going on. That's hard. In the flesh, I think that's impossible. You say, well, you know, maybe things are going for you good right now, Jason. It's easy for you to say that, but maybe so. But it's in the Bible, and it's in there for a reason. It says it. It says it right here. It says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So that tells me, let's put me on the spotlight. Let's put it on my terms, me. That tells me if I'm fearing, then I'm not trusting the Lord fully as I should. That's exactly what that tells me. You know, there's little things that happen in our life that we don't know, we don't understand, and maybe some of those things are easy to kind of get through. But those big things in life that you'd have no understanding why, how in the world is this happening to me? Fear sets in. The best you can do, fear sets in. But the Bible is saying right here, John is telling us, if you get to that deeper plane, there is no fear in love. That tells me that we can have a relationship with God that takes fear and anxiety off the table. That's deep. That's deeper than Jason can understand, but I have to take that at face value. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Trusting the Lord implicitly, following Him completely with your whole heart. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We see this here in verse number 19. I think we would all understand this. I see this. I think about my experience with the love of God. I think about going to church, hearing the gospel, learning that I can trust Him, learning that He's the only one that can save me, thinking about Jesus Christ We love him because he first loved us. Without that example that he shared with us on the cross, how could we have? If he did not come to this earth in the flesh, we would have never been able to have seen him. But he loved us when we were unlovable. Being in sin, sinful man, he loved us when we were unlovable. And we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God and whom he hath not seen? That's a pretty straightforward question. How are we going to love and how are we going to trust in God if we haven't seen him? How can we love our brother and say, yeah, I love my brother? How? That's the question. We see here in verse number 21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Talking about the love of God, it should show again. I use this example or this cycle of life because that's where people are at. That's what people are facing. You think about your life. When was the love of God exposed to you? Sometimes people are saved at a young age. Sometimes it's an older age. A common thing maybe around here, people growing up in church or being around church, but there's so many that haven't. How are they going to see the love of God if we don't take it to them? How are they going to see it? How are they going to know it? That's when I was studying this, that was one of the most important things that came out in my heart is I need to do a better job of sharing it out there. Being out there. And this is for everybody. It's not just for preachers or teachers. This is for everybody. How are we displaying the love of God to the world? How are we showing the world? Are we doing that? Is that a priority? Or we just kind of do it with brothers and sisters? Are we afraid to do it with other people? The whole world needs to see. And that's what the Bible is saying right here. That's how we share that and we show that now. Jesus showed it when he was here. Now we're here and it's our time to show it. That's what he's asking us to do. And I'll stop right there tonight. I hope that wasn't too fast and furious or what have you. But I hope that it's a blessing. I hope you go back and study and you think about that. Make these verses very personal to your life. What you're facing, what other people around you are facing. But I appreciate God's word. I appreciate what it shows to us. But I'll stop right there tonight and I appreciate your good attention, and we'll have a time of prayer, and I'll go ahead and open up to